Aloha, and welcome to the Mission North Shore podcast. If you'd like to know more about any of our ministries, you can check out our website at www.themissionnorthshore.org. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Can everybody hear me all right? I have this like little anxiety every time I have this thing that it's not muted while worship is going on and that you all will hear my horrendous singing voice. Good morning, gang. I am excited to be here. If you guys could open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to be going through verses 28 through 44. But before we dive in, I need help, so I'm going to ask for it and pray. So, Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for this Sunday that we have to be with each other and to learn about you in this time. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would do what you intend on doing and that I would be out of the way and that you would move in our hearts and, God, that you would move throughout this week, throughout our day, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless us according to your will, and we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So, Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44, this is on the triumphal entry. So, this is where Jesus is coming in. This would be less than a week from where Jesus actually dies and goes to the cross, and he dies, and then a week from now, what we celebrate is his resurrection and conquering death. And so up to this point, prior to this, leading up to this, in the course of the Bible, what we have is really all of it points to one person. All of it points to one person, and that one person is Jesus. And it points to, from the beginning in Genesis with Adam and Eve, all the way up to now, God promises us two things, really. And promises us a Savior. And through that, he tells us, okay, hey, these are the things that you'll know. These are the things that are going to happen that you'll know that this is the Savior that I have sent. And so we go from Genesis 3:15, where he says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And even to the Abrahamic covenant, where all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you, talking about Jesus. And where Abraham and Isaac go up and go to sacrifice. And in Genesis 22:8, where Isaac is like, hey, we have the wood, we have this, we have that, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb. And then we have the signs, that God's signs of who the Savior is going to be, and that kind of goes into even the Christmas story of, hey, you know him because he's going to be born in Bethlehem, he's going to be born of a virgin, he's going to be declared the Son of God, so on and so forth. So we have this promise like, hey, you guys need a Savior, I'm sending a Savior. And you'll know who the Savior is because of X, Y, and Z, dot, dot, dot. And so we come to this point where prophecy is literally being fulfilled in front of their eyes. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so what we have here now before their very eyes is they're seeing prophecy fulfilled from hundreds of years ago. And now it's being moved and worked right in front of them. So I'm just going to read through it, and then we can break it apart from there. So verse 28, after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you. There as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he has told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? And then they said, the Lord has need of it. So they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. And as soon as he was approaching As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." So here we have all this anticipation, all this buildup, all this looking forward to a Savior, a coming Savior to save them. And years and years and years and years, hundreds of years go by, and they're just like, come on, where is he? Where is he? Is he coming? Is he coming? And here he shows up, fulfilling prophecy. And Jesus shows up to Jerusalem, approaching Jerusalem, and he weeps, and he weeps, and he weeps, and he mourns for the people. Why is that? Because they missed him. And that's the whole point of this sermon, the whole point of what I'm sharing, is that none of us would miss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. You see, when we miss Jesus, there's three things of many things, but I'm narrowing it down to three. There's three things that I believe that we miss out on when we miss out on Jesus. Number one, peace of his salvation. Number two, peace within the trials. And number three, peace within his kingdom. And so first thing we have is peace, the peace of salvation. So for many of the Israelites at this time, they had the wrong idea of the things that make for peace. Some sought peace through a political leader to set them free from the Romans. And others sought peace through healing from any of their physical ailments and all of that. But I've come to find that peace is a gift, and that gift is Jesus. In John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so often for me, I am like the Israelites in this time, is that I too seek this peace through every avenue besides Jesus. And I know I have sought peace through every avenue besides Jesus. And we also can do that, any one of us here, whether it be we can seek that peace through career goals, academic goals, relationships, the house that you want, that car that you want, you name it. We can seek that peace through every single avenue besides Jesus. And we can we can come to Jesus and go, okay, I need this. But we can use him as a stepping stone to get to a different location, but never really quite land on Jesus and come to him as our all in all and come to him as our peace. And so with that, when we keep searching and we keep missing Jesus, we miss that ultimate peace, and I'm calling it, you know, that ultimate peace, but it's really that peace of salvation, and that peace of salvation is offered through Jesus and Jesus alone. And so I was reminded of the story in Luke 5:17, where a paralyzed man was carried to Jesus by some of his friends. And so these boys are so desperate to get their friend healed but there's this crowd that's surrounding Jesus, and they can't carry their friend through to get to Jesus. And so what they do is they go up on top of the roof of this house. Jesus is in this house, and there's all these people there, and they're like, okay, we got to get to Jesus somehow. So they climb up this roof, and they break a hole. I mean, I'd be pretty bummed if that was my house and a bunch of dudes just like, I'm looking up, and there's this like hole in my ceiling. But they break a hole in the roof, and they lower him down to Jesus. And it says, Jesus, seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." If I was the friend, I'd be like, okay, cool. We just went through all this trouble and all this work to bring him down, and this dude is concerned about his sins. He's concerned about his spiritual issues. Like, can't you see this dude can't walk? Like, obviously, we're here so that you can heal this man. But the thing is that Jesus knew the man's real need. He knew the man's real need, and that's his need for a Savior. You see, what good would it be for that man to have two of his whole legs and yet lose his soul? He had two legs that can walk just fine, but those two legs walk him down into eternal separation with God. And so what he does is he addresses the thing that he really needs, and that is the common root of all pain and suffering, which is my sinful condition, our sinful condition. And he addresses that with this young man here. And you see, the reality is, regardless of what we achieve, attain, acquire, whatever it may be, it won't matter unless the sinful condition of our hearts is addressed by the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And so, as it says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, peace is not, you don't get this ultimate peace, this peace of salvation through attaining, like how I mentioned before, all these other different things. Peace is knowing that through the work of Jesus on the cross, I can stand before the Father blameless and at peace with him, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. And we miss that when we look everywhere else. And so for you, maybe there's some of you here looking for peace in all the wrong areas. And the hope is that you would know today the things that make for peace. Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? So, moving on, what we have is now, through Jesus, we can have peace in the trials. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, or trials and sorrows. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this verse we have one thing promised, hard times. But we also have one thing offered, peace. And peace in Jesus. So for me, I am often somebody, when going through hard times, I look and pray to God to change my circumstance when God is giving opportunity to change me within the circumstance. And you see, the problem that I discovered in is that a lot of times the situation may not change. I still got to go through. But my focus is on what's wrong, and so it gets bigger and bigger. I'm looking at my problem. I'm seeing like, oh my gosh, I have all this. And so I get more anxious. I get more fearful. I get more, oof, like, this problem is becoming so much bigger that it has to be. But when I focus my attention on Jesus, it's not that the problems necessarily get smaller, but I don't really notice them in a sense because my focus is on Jesus. And so I think of one of the stories that I thought of as I was thinking of Peter when he was walking on water with Jesus. They're out there in the boat and the storm's getting pretty brutal, pretty big. And Jesus is out there and they're like, oh, it's a ghost, but it wasn't. And so Jesus calls him to leave the boat and walk with him. And so Peter's like, okay. He gets out, starts walking on the water. But what does it say? He said, when he started seeing the wind and the waves, he became afraid and began to sink. And he asked Jesus to save him, and immediately Jesus grabs him. You see, as Peter was walking, it wasn't like the waves were any smaller or the wind was any lighter. The waves and the wind were still the same. But what happened was is his focus and his attention went from Jesus to all the waves and everything around him. And so the waves, he noticed all of that. And so that's the same thing that happens to us. Is in first, when we lose focus on Jesus, our storms get a little bit bigger, our storms get a little bit wilder. And so in our minds. And so in Isaiah 26:3, it says, you keep him in perfect peace whose minds are fixed on you, because he trusts in you. And the thing is, we can trust in him, because in 1 Peter 5:7 it says, cast all our anxiety and cares on him, because he cares for you. And we know that he cares for us because of what he did on the cross. And so it says in Romans 8:28 that God makes all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And we don't have to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we can make our requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's the reality of our situation, is that we can have peace in our trials, in our difficult circumstances, in our hard times, because of who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross, that he can make something like the cross that is so radical, so brutal, so crazy, and he can make that into the most wonderful thing for me and you. And in your situation, he can change that and make that something and make something good out of that because he loves you, because you are loved by him and are called according to his purpose, and that we can give all of our anxiety and fears to him and allow that peace to overcome and guard and protect our minds in him. And lastly, we have the peace in his kingdom. One of the things that I thought was pretty crazy in this story is how Jesus was talking about what's going to happen to these people, that not stone will be left one upon another, that your enemies will come and throw a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And I think that was, for me, that was, I noticed that was really sad for me. And I know that was sad for him as he wept for them. But they were so, the reality is that for some of these people, they were so focused and their treasure was so honed in on building their kingdom, building their empire, building, setting up their temple and whatever it may be. And Jesus was, there was a devastation in that because Jesus was going, man, all of these things that you treasure so, that you hold on to so tightly, is all going to be destroyed. It's all going to be destroyed. That the things that you care about most is just, is going to be not left one stone upon another. And that's the problem for me a lot of times, is that my concern, my number one concern so often is my life and my kingdom and how I can further advance what I want and what I want to do. And the problem of that is that it takes away the focus of what God is doing around me and he wants to do and what he wants to do through me. See, the thing is, regardless of who you are, God's plan and purpose for you involves in some way, shape, or form the sharing of the gospel and saving souls. And through that, we are able to share and be a part of God's kingdom that's everlasting and eternal. And so Jesus mourns for these people and he reveals the end results of all their work and toiling and efforts under the sun apart from Jesus, which is only to be destroyed and left not one stone on top of another, meanwhile missing out on the kingdom and being a part of the advancement of God's kingdom. And so what does Jesus tell us? Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And so for us, how do we have peace in his kingdom? We have peace in his kingdom that through our work and our efforts, are we looking to advance God's kingdom? Are we looking to share the gospel for people to people? Do we have the same heart that Jesus has mourning for the lost? Do we mourn for the lost like that? And there's a peace in that because we know that that work and that effort will never be left one stone, that will always be built on top of another and will never be destroyed. That our treasures, when we set our minds on things that are above, as Jesus tells us to, where moth and rust won't destroy, there's a peace in that, knowing that this work is going to move on into the everlasting, that this work that I'm doing for the salvation of the lost and sharing of the gospel, because someone did that for me, I can go into heaven, and I can do that for someone else, that they can go into heaven. And that moves on beyond what is in this world, but moves on into the eternal. Because each and every one of us here, we're going to live on when we die in this world. And that's a work that's worth, that there's a peace in that, knowing that that's going to go into eternity, and it's not going to be destroyed, and this time is not going to be wasted. And so, for us, do we have a heart for the lost like this? Is our concern the things of God and his kingdom? The really awesome thing about all of this is that for each and every one of us here, that time of visitation hasn't passed. That we today can walk with Jesus. We can invite Jesus. We don't have to miss Jesus today. And the really cool thing that I thought was really encouraging is that Jesus is coming again, and he's coming again soon. For Jesus, and this time, he comes in on a donkey in humility, but there's going to be a time where Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to come back not on a donkey, but on a sweet white horse, and he's going to have a whole bunch of cool tattoos, and he's not going to be in humility, but it's going to be in glory, and it's going to be in power. And the beauty of all of that is that's going to be our king. We're going to be a part of that. We're going to be a part of his kingdom and his leadership and his rule, and he's going to bring everything, make everything right. And the whole point and the whole hope and the whole idea of all of this was that that each and every one of us today, no matter where we are in life, whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, is that today you would not miss this visitation, that Jesus is readily available for you and to bring you peace in your situation, whether the peace of salvation, whether peace in your trials, or even just peace in his kingdom, that you are a part of that and that you can grow that and further advance that for his glory and purpose. And so with that, I know it was kind of short, but that just means more time to worship and thank God for all the things that he's done and all that he has given us. And so with that, I'm just going to pray. So, Lord, we just want to thank you, God, so much for all that you do in our life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can call you our friend, that we can call you our Savior. Lord, that you give us peace, and that through you we can have peace in this world, peace in our trials, and peace with you, God. And so I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless us, God, that you would remind us, Lord, of what it, remind us, Lord, of your heart, God, that we would have the same heart as you to pursue the lost, Lord, as you pursued us, and God, that we would trust in you with all of our hearts. So we love you, Jesus, and we thank you, and we thank you, God, for the sacrifice that you did for us on the cross on Friday, and that you rose from the grave in a week from now. So we love you, Jesus, and we thank you. And in your name we pray, amen.